Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to continue on today in our series about leadership and continue on looking at elders. Now, first of all, I need to, this is more for me than anything else. I really need to get establish some things. I have been in the audience where preachers have been talking about elders, either maybe that they didn't want elders, that preach about them, how important it is, but really that they didn't really want elders because they were running the show. That's not the case here. I want elders, probably more than anybody here. But also, I've seen preachers preach about we need elders because they wanted to be one. Now, there's nothing wrong with a preacher being the elder, being an elder. I'm not qualified. So there's no ulterior motive other than we want to be seen by God as a congregation organized in a biblical way. And in Titus, and we looked at this scripture last week, in Titus 1, Paul told Titus to go set in order the things that are lacking. And we do not have elders. And we've had a series about the principles of biblical leadership. And even though some of the things in the Old Testament do not apply to elders in the New Testament, a lot of the principles do about godly leadership. Some of the things that God has looked for, there's a common thread going all the way through the Bible. Last week we just read the qualifications found in 1 Timothy and in Titus, and we ended up with the idea that in my eyes, they can kind of be categorized into one of three different kind of categories. And that's broken down into their character, the character of a man to be an elder, his family situation, and his spiritual maturity. And that's what I'd like to look at today. The character, and these are straight from the qualifications found in both 1 Timothy and in Titus. One of the characteristics is desires the position. For somebody that understands the importance of leadership and the unbelievable duty that goes along with it, and they still desire to serve in that way, you've got to have that desire to serve. And we've really dwelt on the idea of whether it's Old Testament, New Testament, whatever, leadership is an act of service. The elders should be the biggest servants. Even though they are, quote, in charge, they're the leaders, they are the biggest servants. And it is an awesome responsibility on their shoulders. But to have that desire to be in that position, knowing the responsibility, blameless. Blameless does not mean perfect. It does not mean perfect. I have seen people use this as a loophole to find something they don't like about a person to keep them from being an elder. This does not mean because you don't like the kinds of shirts that they wear or the way they part their hair or the fact that they may not have any hair or what. No, whatever. Blameless is not perfect. It's above reproach. Where you don't want a man as an elder that people can be flinging accusations about. In 2 Peter, Peter writes about how Christians are called to be blameless. We are called, you and me, are called to be blameless, not perfect. There was only one that was perfect, and that was Jesus, the Son of God. But we as Christians are called to be perfect. In 2 Samuel, Samuel was telling David after his big blunder with Bathsheba, of him committing adultery with Bathsheba, Samuel told David that by this deed, you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. You don't want a man that's an elder that people could be flinging all sorts of accusations about in or out of the church. Could you imagine, it's found out at work that you are an elder. You're an elder in your church? The language you use, do you use the same language at church that you use here at work? Do you tell the same jokes to the people at church that you do around the lunch table in the lunchroom? Blameless, a congregation should not have a man that all sorts of accusations could be leveled against him. Reminds me of the old gospel preacher Marshall Keeble. He's no longer around, but he said, live your life in a way where that if you were accused of something, your friends wouldn't believe it and your enemies couldn't prove it. You know, people are going, people are accused of things all the time. Would you live your life in a way that if you were accused of something, there's no way your friends who know you would believe it? Or if you were accused of something and your friends heard it, well, I know him. I wasn't there. I didn't see it. I could see him saying that. I could see him doing that. I could see him acting that way because I know him. An elder is to be blameless. An elder is to be temperate. They're going to be approached in every direction, in every mood, in every emotion by so many different people. They've got to be an even keel type of person. They can't let emotions run them. One of the greatest examples that I ever saw of not only a Christian but of an elder is a man approaches an elder and he was loaded for bear. And he approaches the elder and he's getting ready to unload. And he does. I want to tell you, blah, 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 blah. And the elder, I was waiting, let him have it. This guy was so wrong in the way he approached this verse. He might have even been right in his concerns. I don't know. But the way he approached it was so wrong. And I couldn't have blamed the elder if he had just popped him one. The way he came at him. The elder, instead of reacting the way he was, he says, let's go over here and sit down And let's pray. Let's start off with a prayer. I was floored. That's an elder. Instead of adding fuel to the fire, he was temperate. He was an even keel. And I tell you, it took all the wind out of that guy's sails. Took the argument right out of it. How do you respond? Let's start off with a prayer. After the amen, do you go right back into the mode that you were in? It diffused the whole situation. An elder is to be sober-minded, to be clear-thinking, not run by emotion, not run by passion, but sober-minded. They're overseeing the good of the flock. They have to make decisions based on God's word. You talk about responsibility. It's not just them. And we've looked at those scriptures in Ezekiel, that being a watchman, and that if you warn the group and they don't heed your following, that's on them. But if there's danger and you don't warn them, it's on you. And an elder needs to be sober-minded. An elder needs to be of good behavior. This goes back to being blameless. You know, his behavior is good. He's a good man. He's hospitable. Hospitable does not just mean you have somebody over to the house, although that can be that way. Is the person open? Is he open to be approached? Is he approachable? Is he a hospitable-minded person? Not given to wine. Now, this is not a lesson about the evils of alcohol. Although, if you would like one of those, we can have one someday. I am not shy about teaching about the evils of alcohol, whether you like to drink or not. But this is talking about elders not given to wine. The word is nephalios, and it means to abstain. To abstain from it. In Leviticus 10, it's talking about the priest. You know, the qualifications of a priest is not the same as an elder, but we've looked at some of the concepts. It says that you may distinguish between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them by the hand of Moses. They were not to drink for some of those reasons. It says an elder is to abstain, not given to wine, that they're not given to wine. An elder is under, it doesn't have office hours. An elder, I have seen elders be called anytime, day or night. Be called in the middle of the night that their spouse has been in a car accident and is on life support at the hospital. Can you come down and help me? Pray with me. Couple show up, 7:30 at night. Their marriage is falling apart. Or get a call. Can you come over, or can I come over? Our son has run away. What do we do? Middle of the night. Oh, I'd come over, but I've had a few too many tonight, and I probably shouldn't drive. I'm not staggering, falling down drunk. I'm not throwing up in the toilet. But I've had a couple too many. I probably shouldn't drive. Can it wait till tomorrow? Yeah, that's an elder I want. Or a couple shows up at the house. Their life is falling apart. It's unraveling for whatever reason. And they need that spiritual leadership of an elder. You're not doing one of these. But you answer the door, you got it on your breath, slurring your words. Is that the kind of man you want as an elder? Not given to wine, not violent. We've seen so many, we're going to see so many different phrases for kind of the same thing. Not a violent person. Could you imagine a violent person being an elder when that person that I told you about comes up to them and is just blazing away at them? A violent person would have responded in kind. Well, he came at me first like that. I'm justified to respond just like him. No. Not a violent person. Not greedy for money. You don't want an elder who's overseeing a congregation that has access to resources like Judas, who was the one in charge of the money box, who would take the money out of it. A man that's gentle. Again, going back to their behavior, their character, not quarrelsome, not covetous. A good testimony among those outside. Well, why does it matter if they've got a good reputation with people outside the church? Because they're representing the church. They are a representative of the Lord's church. And going using that same scripture in 2 Samuel, could you imagine if people, what image does the elder have in his neighborhood? What image is he giving of the church at work, with his family, with his friends? Not self-willed. He does, just because he desires a position, it's not a position of authority, it's a position of service. Not self-willed. Doing it. Yeah, I want to put myself in the position to be criticized, ridiculed, bad-mouthed over every decision that we as elders make. He's not doing it for his self-will. He's doing it for the good of a congregation. He's serving God in that capacity. Not quick-tempered. A lover of what is good. Just. Just is important. Basing decisions based on the Bible. God is just. Not that an elder is like God, but an elder needs to be just like God. The decisions are based on God's word, not on likes and dislikes, not based on... Could you imagine if an elder disciplines people based on whether he likes you or not? Or whether you know you're a newcomer or not? And self-control. These are the categories that I've kind of put in under character. As we look at these, this is the kind of a character a man has to be an elder. It's not for everybody. I know I'm not in those categories. Maybe some of them. It's not for everybody. The priesthood wasn't for everybody. Leader of the Israelites wasn't for everybody. But it's for some. We're going to end today. This is a good ending spot. We're going to finish up with family and spiritual maturity next week. And end our series. I'm hoping you can see a thread that goes through all of these about the series of biblical leadership. It's not the leadership that the world sees. It's not the leadership that we would see maybe in the corporate world, things like that. It is a godly, not selfish position of leadership. It's one of service. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, if you need to repent of sins, if you need prayers of the congregation, please let your needs be known. Come forward while Daryl leads us in the invitation song.